This Bible study is entitled The Sixth Year. We're starting Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1, we read, "At the end of every 7 years you shall make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor shall release that which he has lent to his neighbor. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because Yahweh's release has been proclaimed. Of a foreigner you may exact it. Whatever of yours is with your brother, your hand shall release. However, there shall be no poor with you, for Yahweh Elohim will surely bless you in the land which Yahweh Elohim gives you for an inheritance to possess it. If only you diligently listen to the voice of Yahweh Elohim to observe to do all this commandment which I command you this day." And that's the key, doing all of the commands. And what we see here, Yahweh has built into his system a release. If you owed tons of money, in that seventh year, it would be released. Yeah, it's been 6 years. So therefore, what you would understand is that anybody that would be, they wouldn't be making loans and mortgages for 30 years. Okay? Because they knew in the seventh year they had to release it. Okay? So if I, say, borrowed $10,000 and I had 6 years in which to pay this money off, and say I lost my job or whatever, and I still owed $3,000 when the sabbatical year was about to come in. The person that I owed that money to in our system would have to release it. It would have to release me from that debt spiritually. And the reason I'm saying it this way is because if our hearts aren't right before Yahweh, man, and I'm going to tell you, they get crazy about money. When we were in our former affiliation, we had, and I'm speaking of the leadership, them come. Somebody, he made an announcement. If anybody felt they were being wrong because they were owed money, come to me. That's not in here. The scripture says that if you owed money to your brother, you release it. Okay? That's what the scripture says. But they took it upon themselves because some of them were some that were owed money. You understand? And this is why they did what they did. And it was about that money. See, money can corrupt. It can corrupt you. And if you are not free, get that from the rich, please. If your heart is not right, on the chair. If your heart is not right before Yahweh, it doesn't matter. Yahweh is telling us in verse 6, it says, "For Yahweh Yoni will bless you as he promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And you shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you." Now, what happens that you're not able to fulfill this? It's because people aren't keeping the covenant. They aren't doing what Yahweh told them to do when it comes to this commandment. Now, he also tells us that in the sixth year, now let's finish this passage, verse 7, Deuteronomy 15. Verse 7, it says, "If there be with you a poor man, one of your brethren," and remember, we're not supposed to have any poor brethren, okay? If we're doing everything we're supposed to be doing, we're going to be blessed of Yahweh, as it says here in Deuteronomy 15, verse 6. It says, "For Yahweh your Elohim will bless you as he promised you." It's a promise of Yahweh that we receive a blessing. For us to receive this blessing means we need to walk in keeping all of Yahweh's commandments. We can't pick and choose what we want to do. We have to keep them all. Verse 7. "If there be with you a poor man, one of your brethren within any of your gates in your land which Yahweh Elohim gives you, you shall not harden your heart or shut your hand from your poor brother. But you shall surely open your hand to him and shall surely lend to him enough for his need and that which he wants. Beware that there is not a base thought in your heart saying, 'The seventh year, the year of release is at hand.'" So this is during the 6 years that I'm talking about. Okay? He's saying, make sure there's no base thought in your heart saying the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and your eye is evil against your poor brother. And you give him nothing, and he cries to Yahweh against you, and it is sin to you. So Yahweh's saying that would be a sin to you because you have the wherewithal to relieve your brother's need, and you won't do it because you're worried about the year of release, the seventh year. See? Now, that person could be in a bad situation, whether they've lost their job, say they were in an accident, they couldn't work. They didn't have Aflac. Okay? They weren't getting cash. They didn't have any money coming in. And sometimes, and I used to work in welfare, people fall through the cracks all the time. You don't, you make, say you get an unemployment or whatever, but you make just a little bit too much for a medical card or whatever, and you can't qualify for that card, yet you have a condition. You got to buy some medicine. And right now, if you don't have a card, that medicine can sock you. One of my mother's prescriptions is like $120 a month. Just one prescription. And she's saying, you know, she'd like to stop taking that stuff, but, you know, I guess when you get older and they got you on this stuff, you just got to take it. Or find the herbal alternatives. A lot of people aren't willing to do it because we know that the pharmaceutical companies are big government and they basically got you controlled in a couple of different ways, the hospitals and the medications. But what Yahweh is telling us here in Deuteronomy 15 is that if we have a need in the 6 year and we go to our brother and say, "Hey, can you lend me what I need for my need?" And we look at him and say, "No, we can't handle it. We can't help you. The seventh year is upon us, the year of release. If I give you this money, then, you know, I'm not going to get it back." And you know if you lend somebody money, you might as well expect not to get it back. Right? So, and that's pretty much what it is. But what Yahweh is saying is that we're not supposed to look at that brother or that sister and say, "You know what, I can't help you. And I have to release it in a few months or, you know, next year. And, you know, I ain't about that. I want my money." But that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love, as we spoke yesterday afternoon, that message, we're supposed to love one another. That's the key. We have to overcome this life. And the way we do that is by loving one another. And this is a part of love. If we have it within our ability to do so, you can't not have it and give it to somebody else. So you're not supposed to go into debt and help somebody else. You do this based on having the need. Having the ability to do it. Now, it says, verse 10, "You shall surely give him, and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him. Because for this thing, Yahweh Elohim will bless you in all your work and in all that you put your hand to. For the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command you, saying, you shall surely open your hand to your brother, to your needy, and to your poor in your land. Yet, and this is not a conflict, Yahweh is saying in verse 6, that for Yahweh Elohim will bless you as he promised you, and you shall lend in many nations, but you shall not follow. And you shall rule over many nations, and they shall not rule over you. But what happens? People don't do what Yahweh tells them to do. So therefore, they end up in a situation where they need to borrow. And they're poor because they're not doing, and this is what I wrote the article about first, second, and third time. If we follow the commandments and we do what Yahweh commands us to do, he's going to bless us. And he'll bless us that we have enough, not only for ourselves, that we can give someone else that's in need. And that's important for us to understand. Yahweh is a mighty one of love. He's concerned with each and every one of us. He's concerned with our children and our children's children. But we have to keep the covenant, every aspect of it, so that we can receive that blessing. In verse 12, it says, if your brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go out empty, Jay. You shall furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, out of your wine press, and out of your, as Yahweh Elohim has blessed you, shall you give to him. You shall remember that you are a bondman in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh Elohim redeemed you. Therefore, I command you this thing today. And it shall be, if he says to you, I will not go out from you, I will not go out from you, Jay, your brother. I will not go out from you, from your house, because he loves you in your house, because he is well with you. Then you shall take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Oh. And also to your manservant you shall be, your maidservant you shall do likewise. It shall not seem hard to you when you let them go free from you, for to you the double of the hire of the hireling as he served you 6 years. Yahweh Elohim will bless you in all that you do. Now, when you think about this, and truly, if somebody is a servant of yours, they've sold themselves to you because they owed you, and they're there working for you and whatever, and they become a part of the family. They do. And it would be hard. A lot of them don't want to leave. It's hard to get them out of the house. You tell them, you know, hey, you can go. You're free to go. It's okay. But Yahweh is going to bless you for everything that you do for those individuals, because it says they served you double. Turn over to Psalm 41. Psalm 41, we'll start in verse 1. It says, blessed is he that considers the poor. Yahweh is telling us that that person is blessed that considers the poor. Yahweh will deliver him in the day of evil. He's going to deliver you if you consider the poor. You're doing what's right by those that don't have. Yahweh will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and you will not deliver him to the will of his enemy. Yahweh will support him upon the couch of languishing. You may call his bed in his sickness. I said, O Yahweh, have mercy upon me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. And it's not one of us that has not sinned against Yahweh. And so when we think about what Yahweh is telling us here, you know, we are, hopefully, those who are poor in spirit, because we are seeking Yahweh. We want to be in his kingdom. And we're willing to do each and everything, all of his commandments necessary to get there. And remember, again, what we were told in the last message about loving your brother. Because love, it's got to be first and foremost in our lives. We have to love one another. And if we love one another, we'll be willing to do what's necessary to take care of those among us. Where it talks about, and we're going to get into this in a minute, in the third year, we're in the third year, it's a sixth year, but it's another third year. We have that third year time where we're looking out for the widows, the orphans, the sojourners, and the Levites. We have those four groups that we're supposed to be giving this third tithe to. Now, again, I said a lot of people, when you pay, you get your paycheck, it's already short, okay? It's already short because the government comes in and takes their portion. They take some money out for Social Security. And the people who receive Social Security are your widows, your orphans, and sojourners. And people, you know, I was working in welfare, and they complained, why is it that you give money to foreigners? These people haven't put into the system. How can they come over here and get a check? But it's a part of the system. And Yahweh has it in his word. And it's also a part of what we do in this country. They call it SSI when they get a check, but they get a check. Okay? Now, back in Psalm 41, this is a psalm of David. He says, my enemies speak evil against me, saying, when will he die and his name perish? And if he comes to see me, he speaks falsehood. His heart gathers iniquity to itself. When he goes abroad, he tells it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings fast to him. Now he that lies, he shall rise up no more. Yes, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who did eat of my bread. And this is one of the things that we do. We share our bread with those who are hungry, with those who are poor. You know, we have to go out of our way. We don't just do it during the third or the sixth year. And being that we're in the sixth year, we're commanded to do so, okay, because of the third tithe. But, and it talks about those who are within your gates. So these are people who are within your community. They were supposed to take care of the brethren first, but it could be anybody. It doesn't have to be someone of the household of faith. You could have a neighbor that you know that just came home from surgery, doesn't have what they need a little help, and we can take care of them. So when we look at who we help, it's about here. What does your heart say? Now we have the scripture tells us it has to be widows and orphans, but they can be sojourners. You understand what I'm saying? The sojourners were not a part of physical Israel. Some joined themselves to Yahweh in the old days, got circumcised so they can partake of the Passover, but there were some that were not. And they were still taken care of according to the third tithe year. And this is that year that we're talking about. Now, it says, who did eat of my bread, who has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Yahweh, have mercy upon me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that you delight in me. because my enemy does not triumph over me. And as long as we're doing what's right before Yahweh, our enemy will not triumph over us. Satan wants to destroy everything that we try to build, but Yahweh will not allow him to do so. And we can look at the example of Job. Job went out of his way to offer for his children. Job did a lot more than he needed to do because he said, well, maybe they've sinned against Yahweh, so I'm going to go make this sacrifice, this offering for my kids or whatever. His kids perished. They still did. They died. Okay? But Job was blessed, even at his latter end, with double. Not double the kids, but still double the blessing. But he still ended up with 10 children. Now, we don't know all the intricacies of what happened there. We know that Yahweh said Job was a righteous man. He told Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Okay? And he put him out there. And he said, only don't touch his life. Can't take his life. He can take all he has. And Job still didn't sin with his lips. Now, if something happened to one of us, you think about it. Yahweh stripped you down there and just took everything you had. How would you feel? Would you sin with your lips like his wife said? Just curse Elohim and die. And he says, you speak as one of the foolish women. You know, I came into this world naked, I go out naked. He wasn't concerned about the things he had. And too many people are concerned with their material possessions, their material blessings. And what does it say? This is the sixth year. You know, if somebody comes to you and says, hey, I need a little help, you can't say, you know, I'm going to have to forgive that. If I give it to them, they don't pay me back. We can't worry about that. That's not something that needs to be a part of our heart. What we need to be concerned about is how can we help? If we have the ability to help, how can we help? Trust me, Yahweh will provide. He's going to bless you with that which you have need of. In verse 11 it says, by this I know that you delight in me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. And as for me, you hold me in my integrity and set me before your face forever. That's important because that's what we want to be. We want to be before Yahweh forever. We want to be in his kingdom. And we can't do that if we're not keeping the covenant 100%. Blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Isaiah chapter 25. Now, if we're dealing with the sixth year, we're dealing with the sixth year, and this is what this Bible study is about. And when I finish, I have a lot of scripture, but I'm saying I'm only going to go through a couple more, and then I'm going to open it up for questions, and we'll deal with some of the questions and apply what Yahweh is showing us for this year. And we'll start in 1, Isaiah 25:1. It says, O Yahweh, you are my Elohim. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, even counsels of old, in faithfulness and truth. For you have made of a city a heap, of a fortified city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall a strong people glorify you, a city of terrible nations shall fear you, for you have been a stronghold to the poor, a stronghold to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. Now, there have been times that we've needed that refuge from the storm. Each one of us in our lives, I don't care whether it's when we were younger or even in our older age, there are times when we needed Yahweh to be that refuge for us. Because each one of us has gone through some things in our life and will go through some things. When we go through them, we want to have Yahweh there for us. And for him to be there for us, we have to be diligent. We have to be willing to accept the blessings that he gives us for doing what's right. Okay? I'm hot too, Cam. A shade from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall, as the heat in dry places where you bring down the noise of strangers, as the heat by the shade of a cloud, the song of the terrible ones shall be brought low. But Yahweh gives us the protection. We have the air on. We just have to crank it up. That's right. We're going to defeat the purpose. If she turns the air up, that should solve the problem. The J's hot. Verse 6, and in this mountain will Yahweh of hosts make to all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. He will destroy in this mountain, the face of the covering that covers all peoples, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Now that veil that is spread over the nations causes them not to understand the word of Yahweh. They don't know. They don't have a relationship with Yahweh. Joshua the Messiah is the one that destroyed that veil to open the door so that everyone would be able to participate, not just Israel, everyone would be able to participate in the Torah, in the law of Yahweh, okay? Because they didn't know Yahweh, but it's our job to make sure they know who Yahweh is. He has swallowed up death forever, and the sovereign Yahweh will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the reproach of his people will take away from off all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken it. Now, who takes away that reproach? Who has the victory over death? Yahshua the Messiah. And the world doesn't know Yahshua. They've been taught Zeus. You understand? And Zeus is the pagan mighty one. He can't save. He has no saving ability. In verse 9, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our Elohim. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For in this mountain will the hand of Yahweh rest, and Moab shall be trodden down in its place, even as the straw is trodden down in the water of the dunghill. And he shall spread forth his hands in the middle of it, as he that swims spreads forth his hands to swim. But Yahweh will lay low his pride together with the craft of his hands, and the high fortress of your walls, as he brought down, laid low, and brought to the ground, even to the dust. Yahweh is sovereign, brethren. He's the one that is commanding us to keep this ordinance. Keep this commandment. He's telling us that we are going to keep the 6th year in preparation for the 7th. And the 7th is what? It's the sabbatical year. The land rests that year. So in the sabbatical year, we're not going to be able to do the things that we would normally do. That's why we stop up. If we like raisins, like myself, I stock up my raisins because we're not supposed to take anything from that grapevine in that year. See? Now, again, you have to prepare. You have to put things away. How do we do it? We've been through the sabbatical year several times already, a lot of us, so we know how to store. We know how to, you know, take care of things, but we're not keeping the sabbatical year as we did in our former affiliation, and what we do here in YPTC, we don't make you worry about not being able to drink milk for 3 years or whatever, you can, I think we saw that. No, we're not going to Shalom Farm. What we're going to do is you can, I think it's a month before until like a month after. We didn't make people wait years. I know somebody that's still there that didn't drink milk for almost 2 years after sabbatical year. Yeah, or by eggs. So they had to eat powdered eggs or whatever and all of that. But see, the scripture doesn't tell us that. And I think a lot of that had to do with, yes, most of what they did was flesh. They didn't store it and keep things. You know, but I think that's a burden to put on the people to have them say, you know, and I can tell you right now, I can read a can. I can tell you when it was packaged and, you know, how the shelf life on it and how long it's good and the same thing in the boxes. But that's not necessary. We don't need to worry about that. Yahweh's looking on our hearts to see if we're willing to do his commandments, if we're willing to keep it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to keep the sabbatical year, but we're not going to keep it with all of these regulations that we had in the past, our former affiliation. Because Yahweh wants us to rejoice in keeping his Sabbath, in keeping his commandments. He doesn't want to make it a burden, and it's not supposed to be a burden. Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. And Yahweh spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath to Yahweh. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, and gather in the fruits of it. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to Yahweh. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard." And it says it shall be a Sabbath to Yahweh. Feast of Tabernacles is a feast to Yahweh. You understand? You see the correlation? They're both to Yahweh. It's something that we're commanded to do. So therefore, we have to put ourselves in that commandment, and we have to walk in it. "You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. That which grows of itself of your harvest you shall not reap. And the grapes of your unjust vine you shall not gather. It shall be a year of solemn rest for the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be for food for you, and for your servant, and for your maid, and for your hired servant, and for your stranger who sojourns with you, and for your cattle, and for the beasts that are in your land, shall all the increase of it be for food." So that which grows of itself, you can go eat. But it says you can't harvest it. You can't go out there and just pull down that whole field. You go out day by day, get what you need out your garden, and you eat it. And they say the same for the beast, the same for the neighbor. And it's sort of like gleaning, okay? You know, if it grows there, you got it, you can go pull it even from the neighbors. You can glean. Glean. You can't harvest. In Israel, you didn't have to, but yes, today we're not in Israel. You may want to ask your neighbor if you can have some of their pears or their. But let's see. Now this goes into the Jubilee, and we don't know exactly what Yahweh will reveal to us when the Jubilee. Yes. "And you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years to you, 7 times 7 years, and there shall be unto you the days of 7 Sabbaths of years, even 49 years. Then shall you send abroad the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month in the Day of Atonement. You shall send abroad the trumpet throughout all your lands. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants of it. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. This is the reason that we don't have, they didn't have mortgages that went out, you know, beyond that time, because in the 50th year, the land went back to the original owners. It went back to the people and the tribes that had inherited that land. So they couldn't sell their land forever. They could only sell it for 49 years. And after that 49th year, it went back to the original owners. Now, you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants of it. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. And that's when the prisoners were set free as well in the jubilee. The jubilee shall the 50th year be to you. You shall sow neither reap that which grows of itself, nor gather the grapes of it of the undressed vines. For it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat the increase of it out of the field. In this year of jubilee, you shall return every man to his possession. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy of your neighbor's hand, you shall not wrong one another. According to the number of years after the jubilee, you shall buy of your neighbor. According to the number of the years of the crops, he shall sell to you. According to the number of the years, you shall increase the price of it. According to the fewness of the years, you shall diminish the price of it. For the number of the crops does he sell to you. Because if you bought this property or you made an agreement in the 42nd year, you know, you have 7 years left. You can't say or sell or take advantage of that person and say, you know what, I'm going to sell you this and, you know, you give me so much money. What this scripture is saying, if you only have 7 years left, you can only sell for that 7 years, the crops of that field. See? Or give a 7-year mortgage. Because that property is going back to the original owner. Now, there are some flim-flam people out there who would have probably sold it and say, oh, well, you can have this for 100 years or whatever. It was a sojourner, somebody that was not of Israel, that didn't know about the Jubilee. They could have been taken advantage of. But the scripture, Yahweh's word, does not allow that. In verse 17, it says, and you shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your Elohim, for I am Yahweh, your Elohim. Therefore, you shall do my statute and keep my ordinances and do them, and you shall dwell in the land in safety, and the land shall yield its fruit, and you shall eat your fill and dwell in it safely. And if you shall say, what shall we eat in the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase, then I will command my blessing on you in the 6th year. He's going to command his blessing to you in the 6th year. And it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. Now, with the regular sabbatical, it's going to bring forth the fruit, okay, but not only the 6th year. You got the fruit for the 7th year. You also have fruit for the 8th year, because the 7th year you couldn't plant anything. You understand? So in the 8th year you can plant again, but not during the Jubilee. During the regular sabbatical, you could plant in the 8th year, because the cycle starts all over again. But in the Jubilee, you did not. You had 2 years in a row which that land would lay fallow. The sabbatical year and the jubilee. And says here, and you shall sow in the eighth year and eat the fruits of the old store until the ninth year, until the fruits come in, you shall eat the old store. So this is why we are putting away food, and we did it, like I said, when we had all these kids at home, we used to have 100-pound bags of rice and buckets, and every kind of bean you could name, we bought 100-pound bags of that, put those in the bags so that we would have food. And we fed for years. Actually, even after sabbatical, we still had food. We had to throw some food away because we had it so long. But Yahweh blesses you. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat if you're faithful in doing and keeping His covenant. You keep His commandment, He's going to make sure you eat. He's going to make sure you're blessed. This is what I'm talking about here concerning that sixth year. Now, what I'll do, you can read the rest of this chapter in Leviticus 25 at your leisure, but we want to go over to Romans chapter 12. We'll start in verse 1 of Romans 12. I've entitled this chapter, Righteous Faith in Action. Romans 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Yahweh, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service. And well, I hadn't looked at this thing. I had somebody on the video conference. I think he lost them. That's my bad. They don't like to call-in conference, you get a ping, get an entry notice. Somebody's coming in and lets you turn it off. Oh, they came back. Okay. I got to figure out how to do this so that we get some sort of notice that they're coming in. What? Yeah. Again, Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy volume. Got it? Oop. I'll learn how to work this sooner or later. Oh, they'll come back. Hit the wrong button. No, I just hit the. This is new. When my is not a problem. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual service, and be not fashioned according to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. And he's shown us here what we're supposed to do as far as the 6 years is concerned. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace that was given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as Yahweh has dealt to each man a measure of faith. For even as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office, so we who are many are one body in the Messiah, several, severally members one of another. and having different gifts according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us give ourselves to our ministry. Or he that teaches, to his teaching. Or he that exhorts, to his exhorting. Or he that gives, let him do it with liberality. He that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, brethren. Hate that which is evil, cling to that which is good. In love of the brethren, be tenderly affectionate one to another. In honor, preferring one another. In diligence, not slothful. Fervent in spirit, serving Yahweh. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, communicating the necessities of the saints, given the hospitality. And that's something we need to all do. We can all be more hospitable. You think about it. Yahweh has blessed us with certain abilities. And wherever your ability falls within what I read, then you got to do it with 100%, all your might. But truly, if we're doing what Yahweh is commanding us in his word as far as the 6 years is concerned, we know we have to prepare because we're going to receive that double blessing so that we have food in our house during the sabbatical year. But we want spiritual food as well. We want to be blessed with that spiritual food from on high because Almighty Yahweh is telling us that we have to do these things, verse 13, communicating to the necessities of the saints given the hospitality. Now, again, the sixth year, Brother so-and-so is coming to you, saying, Sister Pam, I need a loan. I could use a few dollars. I need to get from point A to point B. And something happened in my life. I couldn't really get there. I couldn't do it. I need your help. Now, Yahweh bless you with what you have. You have it, okay? Because you've been keeping the commandments. You've been blessed. You got your second time. You got your third time. So you have the wherewithal to do this. See? You can meet that necessity of the saint that is suffering. Now, like I said, sometimes things go sideways. And we end up, and it doesn't matter who we are, it can be any one of us in this room can be sick and brought down to a point where we cannot take care of ourselves. And this is where the brethren come in. We have to be there for one another. This is what Yahweh is telling us. Just by doing this in the sixth year is a preparation for the seventh. But we have to do this in our hearts in a preparation to be able to help any one of us during any other time during the year. Because that's the love of Yahweh. See? That we are given the hospitality and willing to do what we need to do to help one another. In verse 14 it says, bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that rejoice. And that's why we're here, keeping the feast. We're here to rejoice before Yahweh because it's commanded that we do this. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Set not your mind on high things, but condescend to the things that are lowly. Be not wise in your own conceit. Render to no man evil for evil. And Yahshua didn't do that. When he was reviled, he didn't come back at them. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of Elohim, for it is written, vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says Yahweh. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire upon his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's what we have to do, brethren. This is what Yahweh wants of us. He wants us to overcome evil with good. In Exodus chapter 16, verse 4. In the beginning of Exodus 16, he murmured against Yahweh, the children of Israel that was coming out, that had come out of Egypt. And they said in verse 3, if only we had died by the hand of Yahweh in the land of Egypt. Think about that. Think about that statement. If only we had died by the hand of Yahweh in Egypt. He delivered them from Egypt, just like he delivered us from sin. And in verse 4 it says, then said Yahweh to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall come to pass on the sixth day that they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Now, this is the 6 years. Yahweh does the same thing in the 6 year in preparation for the sabbatical year. He's going to bless you with twice as much. Maybe even more. Because of the third time. Because we have to be able to handle the widows and the orphans, the sojourners and the Levites. In verse 21 of Exodus 16, and they gathered it morning by morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun grew hot, it melted. And it came to pass on the sixth day that they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is what Yahweh has spoken. Tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to Yahweh. Bake what you will bake, and boil what you will boil, and all that remains over, save it to be kept unto the morning. And they saved it unto the morning as Moses' commandment, and it did not become foul, neither was there any worm in it. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is the Sabbath to Yahweh. Today you shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day is the Sabbath. In it there shall be none. The sabbatical year is the same, brethren. In the sixth year, we're going to gather more. We're going to be blessed if we're faithful to Almighty Yahweh. And we're going to receive that double blessing, and some even more. Depends on each one of us, where our heart is, how we look to our brethren. If Yahweh is putting you in a position to bless somebody else, this is what we have to do. We have to be prepared to bless our brethren. Now, I'm going to open it up for any questions that we have on the sixth year. I know this was very light. I didn't go into a lot more detail. There are many, many more scriptures that we can deal with. Jubilee is the term, it means 50th year, so the year of rejoicing, we have a Sabbath, okay? Every seventh day is a Sabbath. Every seventh year is a sabbatical year. You remember the sabbatical? Think so? We don't plant. Like we have a garden, we won't put anything in the ground. Whatever grows of itself, we can eat it. But we can't plant a garden. We can't... remember we had the hydroponic tomatoes and stuff like that? Yeah, we had the little... we had a little thing that grew herbs and stuff in the water. But during the sabbatical year, you can have stuff, as long as it's not grown in the land, they have hothouse stuff, you know, like tomatoes and cucumbers and all that stuff. So you can still have, even lettuce. It costs more, but guess what? We were able to do it. We had no problems. We enjoyed our sabbatical year. But the 50th year throughout. Well, that's next year. Next year, so get yourself geared up and ready. You won't be able to have French fries then either. Yeah, you can store back, but that's gonna you're gonna have a lot of freezer space.
You can just buy from the ground. They don't change enough.
No, they're not real French fries, are they? They didn't. That wasn't given to them until they went into the promised land. And they didn't do it then. That's why they ended up in captivity, because they were supposed to do it and they didn't do it.
You know, they traveled. They picked up when y'all was trying to go, and they went on their journey. They journeyed to Israel, during 40 years.
In the wilderness.
So they did not plant.
No, they didn't have anything until they went to that promised land. Because it says there in Joshua about them going in, having let me turn to it. Let me just do that. That would be Joshua. And I believe it is the... They ate of the land. They didn't. But I was going to start in verse 10. It says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at evening in the plains of Jericho. And they ate of the produce of the land on the day after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched grain in the same day. And the manna ceased the next day after they had eaten of the produce of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore But they ate of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So they were eating manna the whole time they were in the wilderness.
I would like for you to have
First tithe would be $210, second tithe would be $210, and the third tithe would depend on your Social Security and what comes out of your check. Because say they take, I have the formula somewhere, but they use a formula to break that amount down.
Okay, so let me finish.
Okay. Say they take out for Social Security $100 or $150 out your check. Then you would just subtract that from that third $210, and just that difference would be what you would use for your third tithe.
So you said it's 30% off of your gross take.
Minus whatever they take for Social Security.
So you take $210 and you pay $150 for Social Security.
I said, if they take that out of your paycheck,
right,
then you would deduct that from that $210.
Right.
And the third tithe that you would be responsible for would be the difference.
Yeah, that's easy to remember, though, because it's 30% minus.
Right.
So I can remember that it was tough that you took the first was 10%, and then you took 10% off of what was left.
I remember that too. And again, that's not of the gross, but that is what's left. I understand that. If that is more comfortable, that's fine. But I'm taught 10%, 10%, 10% as far as the tithe goes.
Okay, one time, the 10%, you think it's also your third tithe was another 10%.
I know that Yahweh is going to bless you for doing what you can. And this is what we had a discussion at our house after one of the
weeks.
What?
What you can, not what you want.
Why did it keep changing?
Like to know what exactly she was supposed to do. I know that now that my husband's gone,
for those widows that were under 60 did not partake of the funds or the money that was saved for them, you might say, unless they had some sort of other hardship that they couldn't work or whatever. And I know that in the assembly they still stuck to that. If you were a widow, you were under, say you were a 49-year-old widow, okay? They still expected you to have a job and work. Now, they would help if there was some extenuating circumstances, but you had to be over 60 to be able to draw from the administration as a widow. So it was like retirement, you might say, to an extent. But and there were some widows we knew that were over 60 that worked and didn't, even though they had a right to collect money from the administration, they did not.
Well, I thought they
were made public that
the
will that
there was, I mean, I know we were
talked out,
but I never knew any widow that got anything from the administration.
Well, they did.
There was some
that did get money. Well, see, that was because it was Jacob O'Meara, and he was holding that money tight. But he would follow the scripture like that. I read the scripture about the woman that went against the unrighteous judge. And the unrighteous judge says, you know what? She's going to wear me out. I'm going to take care of this woman. This widow, I'm going to take care of. You understand? Not because I fear Yahweh, but because she's going to wear me out. And that's what you had to do with him. They had to, you know, and then Joe would end up taking the call because he wouldn't talk to him normally if they wore him out. Joe would take care of the call. And Joe would take care of the person.
And I think he had to count for it. Did he count why he needed it, which is going to be there.
So in other words, if a widow has need of something, like she would contact, say, an elder, and the elder would take care of her.
Yeah. I'll give you a perfect example. When TJ died, And Debbie, you know, is now the widow. She had need of certain things. She called Carl, and